you can choose your own favorite expression in English language for what IMF or International Monetary Fund has done with its Global Economic Outlook report today. You can call it a commotion, a controversy. You want to use more flowery English, you can call it a kerfuffle in the subcontinent. You prefer something more cliched, you can say they've stirred a hornet's nest. You can say they've set the cat among the pigeons, or you can say they have touched India's Achilles heel. But what they've done is, this report tells you that this year, India's economy will be among the fastest declining economies, steepest declining economies in the world. In fact, after the two European countries which got the virus first, Italy and Spain, and maybe France thereabouts, India's economy will suffer the most of all this year because of coronavirus. So India's economy, they expect, will fall by close to 10.5%, 10.3 to 10.6%, 10.5%. Now, if you compare other larger economies, if you just see the BRICS situation, then Brazil, which has actually had much higher fatalities from coronavirus, will decline by 5.8%. Russia will decline by 4.1%, and China, lo and behold, will rise by 1.9%, even though the virus began there. Now, how that happened is that a different, that's a different story. Today, we are looking at these figures. Now, all this, I suppose, public opinion in our country could have still lived with. But to say that India will decline by 10+% this year, whereas Pakistan, IMF has not given a projection formally yet, but the general view from coming out of the IMF is that Pakistan will be about even Stevens or maybe 0.5% growth, but will not suffer a major decline. That's also because Pakistan's economy of a certain type, and we'll talk about that. But it is Bangladesh. Bangladesh's economy will still grow by 4%, and at the end of this year, if IMF's projections are right, that's an important health warning. These projections don't always come out right. And frankly, it's for us Indians to prove them wrong. There isn't much time left in this financial year, but you can still try and prove them wrong. If those projections are right, by the end of this financial year, by the end of this year, Bangladesh's per capita income will be higher than India's. So India's per capita income from about 2100 with a 10% fall will drop to $1877 in today's dollar terms, and Bangladesh's with their 4% rise will end up at $1888. Marginal difference, but Bangladesh, another nation in the subcontinent, a sizable nation, formerly a part of India, becoming richer than India on a per capita basis is a very major development if it happens. Remember, these are projections. If that happens, then we Indians will be the fourth richest people in South Asia, in our subcontinent, which means we'll really be in the second half on the poverty curve. So richest Sri Lanka, Maldives, Bangladesh, and then us. Now you can say Sri Lanka, Maldives. Maldives is a tiny island country. Sri Lanka, okay, also an island country, not as tiny as Maldives, but still not big enough. But Bangladesh, now Bangladesh also is politically very weighty as an argument, as a point of argument, because for a long time we Indians have psyched ourselves into believing that Bangladesh is a basket case, that Bangladesh produces nothing, its people are starving, they are desperate for jobs, they'll come and do anything for us, and that's the reason they are flooding India in their crores. And if we can shove Bangladeshis, only Muslims now with the CAA, not Hindus, if we can shove them back into Bangladesh, then we'll be fine, and Bangladesh will be denied this sort of illegitimate resource in terms of the Indian economy. Now, if Bangladesh becomes on a per capita basis richer than India, it is an eye-opener. It's also a very rude shock. Now, you may say, theek hai, ek saal mein hota hai, next year we'll make up. And IMF again projects, if projections are right, that next day, the following year, India will grow at 8 plus percent. Now, if India grows at 8+%, Bangladesh then might grow at about 5%. That is the projection. Then that year, India may recover its place above Bangladesh in per capita incomes by about $10, $10, $20. It will lose by $10, $20. It will recover by $10, $20. But remember two things. One, that growth of 8% plus will be on a base which would have been lowered this year by 10+%. So that will be a pyrrhic gain. Not very much. Second, this is not something that's happened just over a year. Because if it was just over a year, you could have said, okay, something went wrong with COVID management. India is a complex country. But it's a one-year blip. It is not a one-year blip. And that is what I am coming to. And that is the clutter that I am breaking, or that is the fog I am lifting from this. Now, if you go back 5 years, if you go 5 years ago, India's per capita income, that is your income and mine, as an average, if we averaged out all of India's GDP among all our citizens, it was 40% 40% higher than Bangladesh's. From that to now come below Bangladesh this year, you can imagine how hard we have worked for 5 years. It is not just coronavirus. In fact, if you look at the data over the past 5 years, Bangladesh's economy has grown at 9.1% compounded, whereas India has grown, I'm sorry to say that, at 3.2% compounded. So when a country is already not far from you on the economic growth ladder, and you build a gap of 6 percentage points over a 5-year period, you are looking downhill, and you are rolling downhill quite fast, or you are falling back in the race. And then you have a year when you have a 10% plus growth decline or negative growth, and the same neighbor gets 4% of growth, then 10 plus 4 is 14. So you can see you are now losing this. You've actually run not one lap badly in this race. You've run 6 laps badly. And that is what you are paying for. So remember that old sheer that I had once recounted to you from Shahab Jafri, which it seems that Maulana Azad whispered to Jawaharlal Nehru when things were going very wrong in mid-50s in parliament, in a parliamentary debate. And that is something like, "Tu idhar udhar ki na baat kar, ye bata ke kafila kyon luta, mujhe rehjano se gila nahi, teri rehbari ka sawal hai." So translated in simple English, it means that don't talk about this and that. Don't tell me ifs and buts. Just tell me, how did my caravan get looted? I have no regrets. I have no complaints with robbers, because that's their job. They will do this. But I raise questions about your leadership. So these are questions that India needs to raise with its leadership and the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, that 5 years, India has had a compounded growth of 3.1%. Forget this year. This year is a different story. We'll come to that. But for 5 years, what crime had India committed? What was such an important thing that India was distracted in, that India lost its growth momentum? And now there is this bitter truth. IMF, what IMF has done is, you can hate the IMF for all you wish, but you know, when IMF praises India, everybody also goes to town with it. But IMF has just held up the mirror at you, and coronavirus is an excuse that is only for this year. And there will be debates about whether that lockdown was a good idea, bad idea, and arguments these days depend on which side are you on. So even if you leave that, look at the 5 years before that. So India, and we've said this again and again and again, that India has taken a series of decisions, one of which was a lockdown. Yes, this kind of total lockdown when there was no virus in large parts of India, and not thinking about all this migratory labor that will go away, but also the demonetization. These are examples of a very powerful, very decisive government not going through any debate or discussion, but jumping like a paratrooper jumping without checking the parachute cord. And halfway through, you realize that your parachute's not opening. So, or the other example that I've used in the past also, it's like somebody, your car is running beautifully on a highway, and then you're not having much fun. So you get down and you shoot one tire. Then after a while, you change your step knee, you again start moving, then you get down and shoot a second tire. So this is what's happened with India. The demonetization and this, and then a whole bunch of things. India has gone back into protectionism. India has gone back into weaponizing the tax agencies. India has gone back into a trade aversion, foreign trade aversion. Remember, if Bangladesh is growing so fast, that's because Bangladesh today is an export powerhouse, which India no longer is. So Bangladesh's exports have boomed as India's exports have stalled and declined. So once again, questions have to be raised of India's leadership. I will not go into a lot of data because it further gets cluttered, but I will tell you a few things. One, our Minister of State for Home Affairs, G. Kishan Reddy, he made a statement on February 9 this year, where he said, if Indian citizenship became available to all in the subcontinent, that was with reference to CAA, limiting it to non-Muslims in the subcontinent. He said, if Indian citizenship is open to all, then half of Bangladesh will empty out and come into India. Now, that spoke of an arrogance, which is one, not based in truth, and second, does India great disservice. India is the biggest nation in this neighborhood. Why is it that so many of our neighbors don't like us so much? Now, today you can blame the Chinese, and you can say the Chinese are doing it, but the Chinese were always there, because there is always a dislike or a fear or an envy or whatever of a much bigger neighbor. So there's a small neighbor syndrome, big neighbor syndrome. That apart, if you look at all our neighbors, the country with which we've had the best relations over the past 10-15 years and the most important strategic relations is Bangladesh. Because Bangladesh has not only been your friend in your tussle with Pakistan, they've also de-Islamized their governance in many ways. They've created a secular system, a reasonably secular system. They have driven out the Pakistani fifth column. They've driven out ISI agents. They have hanged Sheikh Mujib's assassins. They have given clear preference to India over Pakistan in everything, much to Pakistan's chagrin. They've also cooperated with India beautifully and marvelously on control of terrorism and cross-border insurgencies. They've handed over our top insurgents to us. Now, no other country in this neighborhood does anything like that. After that, because of our domestic politics and CAA, etc., we started this completely madcap campaign of maligning the Bangladeshis. It's as if Bangladesh was to India what Guatemala or Mexico or Haiti are to United States of America. Now, first of all, we are not United States of America. And second, Bangladesh is not to us what Guatemala, Haiti, Mexico, etc. are to United States of America. Bangladesh this year may go ahead of your per capita income. But besides that, look at everything else. And I comment you an article by Swati Narayan, who's a scholar. It's an article from the Indian Express, and I'll give you a link. You can read it. She's done research, a PhD on Bangladesh and its development, and she works for Institute of Human Development. And she points out that on all the major indices, Global Hunger Index, Gender Development Index, World Happiness Index, immunization, infant mortality, on everything, Bangladesh is ahead of India. It was behind only on two things. One, per capita incomes, which it looks like, if IMF is right, this year will change. And second, human development indicators. I think India is 134, Bangladesh is 136. They are two slots behind us, but there is a reason for that. The reason is, and it's a tough reason, in human development indicators, they also take per capita incomes into account. Now, because India's per capita income was substantially higher than Bangladesh's, that was tilting the balance, and India was just two slots above Bangladesh. Now that that evens out, then that will go also. So you might actually have a situation where in the next human development index, Bangladesh has beaten us. So what we need is a dose of humility and a reality check. This bit of, you know, going on and on, thumping your chest and saying, आई एम किंग कॉन्ग, आई एम किंग कॉन्ग, आई एम किंग कॉन्ग, आई एम विश्व गुरु, मैं विश्व गुरु, मैं विश्व गुरु. इफ़ योर नेबरहुड इज़ लीविंग यू बिहाइंड, यू नीड टू लुक विद इन, जिसको हम हिंदी में कहते हैं अपने गरेबान में भी झांक के थोड़ा देखना चाहिए कि आपकी अपनी असलियत क्या है, और फिर ये सोचना चाहिए कि हम यहाँ कैसे पहुँचे. देन यू नीड टू थिंक अबाउट हाउ डिड आई गेट हेयर, बिकॉज आई वॉज एक्चुअली लीविंग एवरीबडी इन माई नेबरहुड बिहाइंड बिसाइड्स श्रीलंका, विच इज़ इन एनी केस विच हैज़ ए पर कैपिटा इनकम विच इज़ ट्वाइस एज हाई एज इंडियाज एंड ब्रिलियंट सोशल इंडिकेटर. सो लीव श्रीलंका साइड, बट पाकिस्तान, बांग्लादेश, वी वर नॉट इन देयर लीग एनी मोर, वी नेवर थॉट दे वर इन आर लीग, बट दिस इज ऑल्सो एन अनयूजल ईयर वेयर वी हैव सीन बांग्लादेश ग्रो इन एवरी फील्ड, सो मच सो दैट दे ऑल्सो बीट अस, इट्स एन असाइड, दे ऑल्सो बीट अस इन द जूनियर वर्ल्ड कप, क्रिकेट वर्ल्ड कप. सो बांग्लादेश इज़ अ राइजिंग पावर. First lesson, respect Bangladesh, respect all your neighbors. Second, acknowledge the fact that Bangladesh is leaving you behind and it's no fluke. And third, look within to see what is it that we have done wrong. We've made Bangladesh and Bangladeshi so central to our politics. Maybe we think that we are doing it until the West Bengal elections, but after West Bengal elections, there'll be Assam elections, there'll be an election in India anytime. So for all that, are you then giving up your only sizable friend in the neighborhood at a time when Xi Jinping is reaching out to Bangladesh desperately with a blank checkbook, with his checks signed, at a time when even the Americans, the Quad, are getting worried about Chinese influence in our neighborhood? Let me mention this to you. Steve Biegun, the Deputy Secretary of State of America, who was in India just a couple of days back, he went from India to Dhaka because they are concerned, everybody is concerned about the Chinese influence in Dhaka and India's waning influence and India's waning moral stature in Bangladesh. Not just that, later in this month, when the Secretary of State comes to the subcontinent, you know, in the old days, they used to go to India and Pakistan, then India said, you de-hyphenate it, no two-country rule. So he will not go to Pakistan, but he will go to Sri Lanka and Maldives. Maldives, US Secretary of State, why? Because they are all worried about China. So US Secretary of State is coming week or 10 days before elections and visiting Maldives and Sri Lanka because they are concerned about the Chinese influence there. And we, on the other hand, have completely ruined our relationship with Bangladesh. I know repair work is going on right now. We have a new ambassador who is a very good ambassador. Vikram Doraiswamy is a very good ambassador. He's done the right thing. He has gone there by road. He went straight to Sheikh Mujibur Rahman's old home, which is a museum. So there is a repair work going on, but you cannot repair it if this remains the center point of your politics in West Bengal elections, which are now coming up. Again, somebody might say, oh, it's only per capita income. That is not really, and only 1 year, that is no indicator of anything. But please be modest, please be humble, and let's be truthful. And the truth is this: I told you all the indices on which Bangladesh is ahead. I will count some more. Till 80s, we Indians lived the longest in this subcontinent. Now, a Bangladeshi lives about 4 years more than us. We are ahead of Pakistan, if that's any satisfaction. We are now left to competing with Pakistan because Chinese left us behind a long time back. Sri Lanka left us behind. Maldives is ahead of us. Now Bangladesh is leaving us behind on every social indicator I told you. Besides per capita income and HDI, Bangladesh was ahead of us. And this year, if this projection is correct, even those two will be lost. India will then become the leader of the third world in the subcontinent. That is the cruel truth that we cannot deny. Now, if you look at this Indian degrowth this year, this will be Indian in the last 40 years, there've been only 8 occasions when in a year India's per capita income has declined. Of those 8, only 3 have been in the last 20 years. The last one before this was 2012 under UPA 2, and that happened essentially. It was not degrowth that year. That happened essentially because that year the rupee lost value quite heavily, and the value of dollar went up. So this is calculated in dollar terms. So India had a net fall in its per capita GDP, a tiny one. But only thrice in the past 20 years. So since the reform, you've had very few such occasions, and this fall this year will be the highest, the steepest since the year of the big economic crisis and the big balance of payment crisis in 1990-91, when India had four prime ministers in a very short period of time. Now, before I let you go away, I know I'm turning the knife, but let me do it with facts. Look at some other indicators. Infant mortality. Infants dying at birth or living up to the age of 5 per thousand live birth. India is 41. Bangladesh is 31.7. Ahead of you. Again, you want to feel happy, Pakistan is 53.86. If you want it to be a competition between you and Pakistan, that's fine. Then look at fertility rate. In 1960, this was the fertility rate between India and Pakistan. Then Pakistan was 1. Pakistan was 6.6, very high, which means an average woman produced 6.6 children in her reproductive life. Whereas India had 5.9, again nearly 6, so very high. Today, what is the situation? Today you have a situation where Pakistan is 3.48, it is still the top of the non very happy pops in the subcontinent, and I say that with pun intended. India is number 2, 2.33. Where is Bangladesh? Bangladesh is 2.1. Bangladesh was 6.6, in fact in 1960, both East and West Pakistan had the same fertility rate. So they have fixed it. So I'm not reeling off all the figures for you, because there are so many social indicators and economic indicators, and you can dice and cut them differently. So I'm sharing with you another article by my young colleagues, Samyak Pandey and Srijan Shukla, based on data, and there are sources available. So please read that, and the picture that emerges is sobering. India was leaving everyone behind until some time back. India has now slipped back quite heavily, and that needs a correction. So on that note, I will conclude this. I know that yesterday, what I said about, say, Maharashtra being the worst performing state, it got me a lot of genuine tender love and care, say from the BJP side, because Maharashtra now has a non-BJP government. On the other hand, what I have said today might get me tender love and care in quotes from the BJP side. Yesterday, I got attacked by the anti-BJP side. Today, I might get a little bit of tender love and care without the quote marks from that side. But many people will ask me, Shekhar Gupta, why don't you choose your side? One day you are on this side, one day you are on that side. Now that, fortunately or unfortunately, is the life of a journalist if you want to do real journalism. Because you then let facts guide your journalism. Sometimes you can make one happy, sometimes you can make the other happy. Usually, you end up making both sides unhappy, as I might have done in these 48 hours.